Well, good morning, Northbrook.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Everyone have a good Thanksgiving? Eat too much food?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, my name is John Malstead, and I'm the pastor of student ministries here at Northbrook, and so excited to be with you this weekend as we enter into my absolute favorite time of the year. The message title this week is God's Here. God's Here. One of my favorite Christmas movies is a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe, hopefully you've watched that movie at some point in your life. If not, recommend it. But just in case you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life, or if it's been a while, just to refresh your memory. In It's a Wonderful Life, the main character's name is George Bailey. And as a young man, George Bailey has dreams of traveling the world and seeing the world. But due to some unfortunate circumstances, he sacrifices his dreams and decides to stay in the small town of Bedford Falls and run the family business, the building and loan. The building and loan is the last line of defense against the greedy banker in the town who owns the only bank and is trying to get rich by oppressing the working class of Bedford Falls. So George Bailey stays and runs the building and loan and builds a life. Well, one day, someone at the building and loan misplaces a large amount of money. And George thinks that he is going to go to jail. And he decides that it would have been better if he had never been born. And so God sends the angel Clarence. I just love Clarence. And Clarence has the job of showing George what a wonderful life he has. And so Clarence gives George the gift of seeing what life would have been like if George had never been born, what the world would have been like if George had never been born. And George is able to see the difference that he has made in the world and what a wonderful life he, in fact, has. And though circumstances haven't changed yet, George's opinion of his life has changed because he's able to see something that he couldn't see before. What a wonderful life he has. And I think if we were honest, we have all been like George Bailey. George was unable to see something that was right in front of him, the wonderful life he had. And I think we've all had moments where we were unable to see something that was right in front of us. None of us are perfect, I don't think. We all have blind spots. We all have weaknesses. And from time to time, we all miss something right in front of us. That's what I want to start with today. Like George Bailey, sometimes it's possible to miss what's right in front of us. To miss what's right in front of us. We're going to come back to that. Just keep that thought in mind. Now we come to the Christmas story. And for thousands of years, people wondered what God or the gods were like. And there were a lot of opinions, there were a lot of beliefs affecting how people lived their lives. Some believed the gods were mostly indifferent, but you could perhaps convince them to do what you wanted to do if you tried hard enough. Perhaps you could sway their mind. You could get them to show their favor if you did enough. We see a perfect example of this play out in the Old Testament story of Elisha and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. If you're not familiar with this story, Elisha proposes a showdown on Mount Carmel between his God, Yahweh, and the prophets of Baal's pagan god, Baal. And so Elisha proposes that whichever group can get their god to bring down fire on an altar will be pronounced the winner, and their god will be the one true god. So the prophets of Baal go first, and they try to get Baal to bring down fire by dancing and shouting and just creating a ruckus, hoping that their noise and their dancing will help them win the attention and the favor of their god and bring down fire. When that doesn't work, the prophets begin to cut themselves with swords and spears, thinking that maybe Baal will feel sorry for them and see how dedicated they are, and they can convince him to bring down fire. That was a very common pagan practice in those days. Other religions believed that the god or the gods were angry, and that the only way to appease them was through sacrifice. Sacrifices had to be made to appease the gods and to win their favor. And so we see throughout ancient history, different people groups sacrificing their crops, their possessions, and in some cases, even their children. Try to convince the gods to like them, to be for them, and to stay their wrath. Other religions believe the gods favored the strong, and any sign of weakness or vulnerability was detestable. The weak were only fit to serve the strong. Grace, forgiveness, and even love were words that were held in contempt in some societies based on their view of the gods. But then God came to earth in human flesh. In human form, the question, what is God like, was answered. Jesus came and Jesus showed us what God is like. And he came in the most weak and vulnerable way possible, being born a little baby. And not being born to royalty, but being born to a carpenter and a girl named Mary. He was placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He wasn't born with pomp and circumstance and parades, but he was here. God with us, Emmanuel. And some people early on got to experience and were aware that God was with us in the flesh. It started with the shepherds coming to see the baby. And then in Luke chapter 2, two individuals in the temple, a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna, see Jesus at the temple and they know that they are seeing God in human form. Two people who had spent much of their lives at the temple trying to draw near to God experience God coming to them in the form of a baby named Jesus. Fast forward about 30 years, and as Jesus starts his ministry, he invites 12 men to be a part of his world. He doesn't distance himself from society as if he were too good for people. He draws people to himself. In vulnerability, he allows himself to be known. Think about that. God allows himself to be known, to be loved, and to love. Jesus loves these 12 men, knowing that at one point they will abandon him and one of them will betray him. And throughout Jesus' ministry, people come from far and wide to see and to hear God in the flesh. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be there? To see God in the flesh? To watch as he heals a blind man? And the blind man sees for the first time in his life. Can you imagine the joy in that moment? With his friends and family seeing his loved ones for the first time. To be there as Jesus walks on water or calms a storm. To be there as Jesus heals lepers and the lame. To see the joy in the parents' eyes as Jesus raises their dead daughter back to life. To be there as Jesus welcomes the little children. To be there as Jesus tells the woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you either, go and sin no more. To be there as Jesus tells some of the most powerful men in Jewish society, you are like whitewashed tombs with the bones of dead men. What would it have been like to be there, to experience God in the flesh? Many of you know I grew up in Colorado. That's why I'm a Broncos fan, as many of you know. Not their year this year. But it's a little odd because when I came to Wisconsin, the Broncos were the only team that I continued to cheer for. So I'm a Bucks, I'm a Badger, I'm a Brewers fan. It's a little confusing, but you can just remember that in our house, we only cheer for teams that begin with the letter B. Broncos, Badgers, Bucks, Brewers. But growing up in Colorado, of course, I was a Colorado Rockies team. The Rockies were the professional baseball team in Colorado, and they had their first year, they became an expansion franchise in 1993 when I was 8 years old. So it was a pretty big deal in Denver that we finally had a baseball team. And that first year, the Rockies traded for an outfielder named Dante Bichette. Anybody know who they traded with to get Dante? The Milwaukee Brewers, yes. And so Dante was the man. Like, he had an arm. He could throw out guys on the base pass from the outfield, and he hit these long, towering home runs. Probably helped that he was in the altitude of Denver. But he was the first to hit a home run for the Rockies in their first year as a franchise when they were playing at the Old Mile High. And then 2 years later, when they built the new Coors Field, he was also the first player to hit a home run in the new Coors Field. So I just, as a young boy, I just thought Dante Bichette was the man. Well, one day I was about 10 years old, and I was at a park with my family, and we were leaving the park, and I look over, and who is about 20 feet away sitting at a park bench but Dante Bichette? And he wasn't even wearing, like, a jersey. Like, I didn't even know you could do that. I thought they just always wore their jerseys. And it was so amazing. Like, he was there. I had seen him on TV. I'd seen him from the stands, you know, when he was playing. But there he was in person, right there without crowds around him. And there's just something different when you're with someone and they're there in person. You can hear a lot about someone. You can hear stories about someone. But there's something different about physical presence. I was so nervous that I couldn't even talk to him. I had to ask my dad to get his autograph. And so my dad ripped up a check and... there it is. There's a blown up picture. He ripped up a check. It's half a check, and got his autograph for me. For thousands of years, people had told stories about God and what God was like, worshiped God, and then one day God was here. Emmanuel, God with us. But the crazy thing is, some people couldn't see what was right in front of them. Some people that saw Jesus didn't see God. What I mean by that is, some people that saw Jesus, they just saw a good teacher. Others saw an enemy, a religious zealot, a troublemaker. God in the flesh was right there in front of them, and some of them couldn't see it. What's crazy is many of the religious leaders, men who had spent their whole lives studying about God and teaching people about what God is like, when God was right there in front of them in the flesh, they couldn't see it. They wouldn't see it. They missed was right in front of them. God was right there. And they didn't know it. Reminds me of a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 28, a young man named Jacob has just tricked and lied to his elderly father, Isaac, and received the firstborn blessing that should have gone to his older brother, Esau. Firstborn blessing was a huge deal in the Old Testament. If you were the firstborn, you got a lot more inheritance than all the other kids. Any other firstborns in the room? A few of you? You would have made out well. I'm a firstborn. We definitely were more liked than our younger siblings. Or if you're an only child, you're just really well liked. So Jacob tricks his elderly father and gets the firstborn blessing that was supposed to go to his older brother Esau, which is a big deal. And so now his older brother is, of course, angry at him. He's deceived his father, and so he is told he needs to leave home. You got to get out of here. Not exactly a shining moment for Jacob. So Jacob leaves home, and you got to believe that at this point he feels a little lonely. Like, he is just disappointed and tricked his father, angered his older brother. He has to leave his mother, and so now he's headed off away from family. And one night he goes to bed, and he has a dream where God comes to him. And God doesn't condemn him. God doesn't curse him. God says, Jacob, I'm going to bless you. And I'm with you. And Jacob wakes up from that dream, and I love what he says. It's one of my favorite lines in all the Old Testament. Jacob says, God was in this place, and I didn't know it. God was in this place, and I didn't know it. See, sometimes I think that we can believe the lie that whenever God is present in the moment, we'll know it. If God shows up in my life, like I'll get goosebumps or I'll just be able to know, or there'll be a booming voice from heaven, or there'll be writing on the wall, or there'll be a perfect parking space on Black Friday right by the front. Like something will happen that'll tell me that God is present. Like I'll just know it. But if we learn anything from reading the scriptures, it's that God has been present all along and often people missed it. And what's interesting from the context of this story is Jacob still doesn't really get it, because Jacob thinks that he has walked into a holy place. Like on his travels, he has discovered a place on earth where God is there, and God was in that place and he missed it. But it wasn't that Jacob had stumbled upon a holy place where, that God was. It was that every place Jacob went, God was there. And Jacob's dream just revealed to him what had been true all along. God was with him. Where else would God be? And the religious leaders in Jesus' day, they had God in the flesh and they couldn't see it. God was in that place and they didn't know it. Sometimes we miss what's right in front of us. See, the Christmas story is this beautiful story of the vulnerability and the love of God coming to earth, God in the flesh, living among us, loving us. But it is also a reminder that God can be present and you can miss it. See, it's easy to look at the religious leaders and go, come on, what was their problem? How could they miss Jesus there on planet Earth doing miracles? How could they not see that it was God? But how often, if we're honest, do we miss what God is doing in our lives? How often do we not see it? How often do we get so busy or so distracted that we miss that the presence of God is active and working in our lives all the time? God is in that place and time, and we don't know it. God reveals himself to us in all sorts of ways. One of the ways he reveals himself to us is through love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. John writes, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." John writes these powerful words. He says, love comes from God. And anyone who loves knows God, for God is love. God's presence is made known to us through love. So when we experience love, what are we experiencing? God. God is present in every moment, and one of the ways that we feel his presence is through love. The question is never, is God in this place? Is God in this moment? Is God in this interaction? The question is always, have we noticed? Every once in a while, as a youth pastor, I'll be talking to a student, and the student will tell me that they have a friend who's an atheist, and they're trying to convince their friend that there is a God that loves them, and they're not really getting anywhere. They're just arguing back and forth. And usually when I hear this, I'll respond typically in some way along these lines. I'll say, perhaps you don't need to convince your friend that they can experience God like he's some future thing yet to be discovered. Like God is some formula that they just got to figure out, or you got to feed them the right formula and then they'll experience God. Perhaps what you can do is you can help them see that they've been experiencing God their whole life. They just didn't know it. Anyone who has ever been truly loved has experienced God, because God is love. As we go through life, it's not that we find God, it's that we become aware of his presence that was with us all along. Sometimes we'll have big moments as followers of Christ where you can almost just feel the presence of God. Something happens, a moment happens where you can just feel the love of God. About a year ago, I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I went back to school for my master's, and it's mostly online, but every twice a year I have to go to Sioux Falls for like 5 days for intensive classes. And so I was in Sioux Falls, and it was the first day, first full day there, and I was in classes all day, and finally got done. My brain was just fried, and I knew clearly what I needed. I needed ice cream, because ice cream makes everything better. Amen? And so I looked on my maps, and there was a Cold Stone Creamery in Sioux Falls. So I went to Cold Stone. It was pretty late at night. The store was going to close soon. And I got peppermint mint chocolate chip ice cream. Didn't look at the calorie count because that ruins it. And I'm an introvert. I wasn't going to eat my ice cream by myself in the store. So I went out in the car and ate it by myself. And then I drove back to the Airbnb and went to bed. Well, the next morning, I woke up and I thought, you know what, I really need good coffee before I go sit in classes all day. So got dressed and I grabbed my keys and I grabbed my cell phone. And I couldn't find my wallet. So I searched through all my luggage, searched the Airbnb, went out to the car, searched the car, and then repeated that all over again. No wallet. And so it begins to dawn on me that I must have left my wallet at the Cold Stone Creamery the night before. To make matters worse, I'm the type of person that never carries a lot of cash. Like, I usually have between $1 and $20 in my wallet at all times. I just don't carry cash. But someone had given me $600 in cash, and I had not deposited it yet. And just before I left for Sioux Falls, I thought to myself, you know, I should really take all this cash out of my wallet. But then my next thought was, but I never lose my wallet. So I don't need to. So I call the Cold Stone Creamery, and of course, there is a recording, because they're an ice cream shop, they don't open until noon. It is 7 a.m. And so now all these thoughts are going through my head, like, what if the people in line behind me saw my wallet and just took it? What if the workers saw my wallet, went through it, saw all the money, and decided to just say they didn't find it? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay for meals for the rest of the week? How am I going to get home? How am I going to buy good coffee? Like, all these thoughts, right, running through my head. And so I go to class, and all morning, I'm not hearing a thing the teacher is saying, right? I'm super distracted, which gives me a lot of compassion for those of you that are not hearing a thing I'm saying right now. Maybe you lost your wallet last night. I don't know. So I'm not hearing a thing they're saying, right? And like every hour, I get out, I go to the bathroom, and I call. Because I think at some point, someone's got to come in and start prepping for the day, right? So like every hour, I leave, I go to the bathroom, and I make a call. Finally, late in the morning, I call and someone answers, right? And it's like the moment of truth. And I'm like, hey, do you happen to have a wallet with a Wisconsin driver's license? And the guy's like, yes. And at that point, I am just ecstatic, right? Like, I am pumped. I'm doing a dance in the men's bathroom. I come out of there high-fiving people, shaking hands, kissing babies. Like, I'm so relieved, right? And so I drive there, and sure enough, they hand me the wallet, and I look inside. All the money's inside. And the manager tells me that his employee from the night before found the wallet and looked inside, saw all the money, and she placed it in a safe place because she knew I'd be back for it. And I don't know how to describe this rationally. So, you know, if you're like a factual person, you're not going to be thrilled with what I'm about to say. And I'm sorry. I think facts are important. But all I can say is from an emotional standpoint, in that moment, I felt the love and the kindness and the goodness of God through that girl. She didn't know me, but I knew her in that moment. She was the face of God. God's love came through her to me. And I felt it. God was in that place, that moment. And I didn't miss it. Because God is love. A couple years ago, went on a mission trip with some students from Northbrook. And we went to an orphanage in Mexico. And while we were there for a whole week interacting with the kids. And there was this one boy that I just kind of connected with and bonded with. I think it was because we both like sports. And he could tell how much it bugged me that he was way better than me at soccer. And so we bonded. And his name was Annibal, but I couldn't remember his name, so I just called him Superman because he was always wearing a Superman t-shirt. Well, the last day we were there, it was time to leave. We were saying our goodbyes, and they had thrown us a party, and they let all of the kids pick out a treat, since it was a party. And Annabelle picked out a bag of chips. You have to understand, Annabelle had had a pretty rough life. He had spent some time on the streets of Mexico. He'd calmed the orphanage with pretty much nothing but the clothes on his back. And so I'm saying my goodbyes to Annabelle, and he offers me his bag of chips. And of course, I refuse. I'm like, no, those are yours. Like, you keep them. You need them. And he's very insistent that I receive his gift, the only gift that he had that he could give me. He was very insistent that I take the bag of chips. And it got to the point where I realized if I didn't take this bag of chips, like, he was going to be hurt. So I take this bag of chips from this little boy. And he just gets the biggest smile after I receive his bag of chips. And in that moment, as I look at that little boy and I see his face, I don't see a little boy's face. I see the face of God's love through that little boy. I keep those chips. I never ate them. I keep the chips in my office. They look still good, which is concerning when you think about it. But I keep them in my office, and every time I see them, I'm reminded of the love of God and how we can experience the love of God and the presence, the goodness of God through family members and strangers, coworkers, neighbors, and little boys in Mexico. You know, I think it's easier to notice the love and the goodness of God in big moments in life. But I think what's difficult but also just as important is to notice the love of God and the goodness of God, the presence of God in every moment, in all of the little moments of life. The smile of a stranger, the laugh of a child, the sympathy and kindness of a friend, the guiding hand of a teacher, the caring hand of a nurse or doctor, a beautiful sunset, a snowy day. God is present in all of those moments. But it's up to us to notice it. Because if we're not careful, we can miss what's right in front of us. When was the last time that you saw the face of God in someone else? When was the last time that you slowed down, got rid of the distractions, and noticed God's presence in your life? You noticed his presence, that he was there and active and working. And it may not have felt like you thought it was going to feel like. You may not have gotten goosebumps. But when was the last time you slowed down and noticed that God was there in that moment, in that place, in that circumstance? As a story in Luke 13, Jesus goes to the synagogue. It's the Sabbath. It's church for the Jews. And a woman is there who has had this issue for 18 years. There's something wrong with her spine. She's been bent over, unable to straighten up for 18 years. And at this point, I'm sure she spent money on doctors and done all sorts of things, but nothing has helped. And so for 18 years, she's been in this agony. And Jesus goes into the synagogue, and he sees her, and he has compassion on her, and he goes over and he heals her. And you can only imagine her joy and her family's joy as she is healed instantly. 18 years of suffering gone, just like that, finally healed. And yet not everyone in the synagogue is happy and full of joy. The synagogue ruler is angry because Jesus has just healed someone on the Sabbath, and the synagogue ruler considers that work. And so you have these two different groups of people. You have the people that are full of joy because this woman has just been healed, and you have the synagogue ruler who is angry. And what's interesting, it's the same situation. It's the same moment in time. I guess you could say it all depends on your point of view in that moment. What are you looking for in that moment? Some people in the room saw the work of God and were celebrating it, and some people in the room saw the work of a man and were angry about it. As we go through life, we can see the work of God all around us, or we can miss it. As we head into this Christmas season, you're going to see babies in mangers on Christmas cards and in people's yards and all over. And when you see that baby in the manger, I hope you're reminded of the goodness and the love of God, the vulnerability of God coming to earth. But I also hope that you are reminded that we can be in the presence of God and miss it. That we have an opportunity every day to slow down and live in the fullness of a God who is present in every moment, in every situation, in every interaction that we go through. That we have the opportunity to live lives where God is in that moment and we don't miss it. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your love, and I thank you for coming to earth, being born, living, loving, showing us what you are like through your life. God, I pray that you would help us to not miss your presence, to not be so busy, so distracted, that you are in the moments in our lives and we don't notice. Would you open our eyes to see your work in every situation, everything that we do, every place we go? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we wrap up today. If you want to pull out your connection card located in your service folder, in the back of that connection card, there is a next step. If you're new to Northbrook, we like to take a next step out of every service. And so this week's next step is, this week I will regularly remind myself that God is in this place. Maybe this week you'll take some time to slow down and open yourself up to being aware of the presence of God in your life. I'll give you a minute to fill out your connection cards. So today as you go, may you go in the grace and the goodness and the love of God. And may you be aware of the God-soaked world all around you. Amen?
Amen.
Have a great day.